read this morning from Psalm 122 as soon as I get my glasses on. So, it's great to be here. Thank you. A song of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built as a city compact together where the tribes go, the tribes of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, for the thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be with you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Most scholars believe this passage and all the songs of ascent, and there are several of them, were written for the Israelites as they would travel to Jerusalem and they would go up Mount Zion to worship God. And today we no longer have to go to Jerusalem to worship. And yet the application, there's still an application, as in Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for all we need. And this is one of those scriptures. And if you love Christ, you will want to ascend with him. And I've looked at several of these ascension songs. We've been going through them on Sunday nights at our church. And some of them, they encourage you to study the scripture. Some of them are more encouraging you to pray. And this one, I would say, encourages us to attend church. It's through church attendance, through being there Sunday, 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 and not just Sunday for some of us during the week, that we grow in the Lord, that we get stronger in the Lord. And this passage talks about that. But the first thing this passage talks about, and if you have those outlines, you can look at them if you want. You can, in my church, some people look at them during the time I'm preaching, and some save them for later because it helps them to remember. You can look or not look as you want. But the first point on that is the gladness of an ascending believer. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." As I said in my introduction, the Psalms of Ascent seem to have been written for those who are traveling to Jerusalem, those who would be climbing up that mountain. And as I said also, we no longer travel to Jerusalem, and we have biblical reason for that. Remember the woman at the well, and she was questioning Jesus. She said, "Sir, I believe that you are a prophet." She says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." They happened to be on the mountain that her fathers worshipped at the time. And she said, "And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place one ought to worship." And that was true. They should have been worshiping in Jerusalem. But Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Meaning, like we do today, we worship practically wherever we want to. And Augustine said it very well. He says, "To him who is everywhere," and God is everywhere, "men come, not by traveling, but by loving." And if we love the Lord, we can worship him anywhere. We can worship him at home. We can worship him at church. We can worship him in all different places. And yet we are supposed to gather for worship. And this is where this passage still applies. Hebrews 10:24 And 25 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is a matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm exhorting you. And you'd say, hey, we're the people who are here. We don't need exhorting. It's the people who are not here. But if next week you're thinking of maybe not being here, maybe this is exhorting you for next week. But it's exhorting us to meet together on a regular basis. When it says here in Psalm 122:1, let us go into the house of the Lord. Obviously, it was talking about the tabernacle or the temple, but this is our house of the Lord here. It's the same as not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, which is in Hebrews. We should be glad when somebody says to us, let us go to church. Whenever we're invited to any kind of event at church, we should be happy about that. This is the opposite. I was a young Christian many, many years ago. I became a Christian in college. And when I became a Christian, it was new and exciting to me. And I thank God it's still new and exciting to me. But at the time, I remember I went to a certain church that was near my house. And there was a little singles group in there. And we were all together as singles. And somebody said, you know, we should do something right now. What should we do? And I said, let's have a Bible study right now. Just off the cuff. And the pastor's daughter said, no, I want to do something fun. And I remember as a young Christian thinking, what's more fun than a Bible study? What's more excited about getting to know God? And a lot of people don't think of it that way. But knowing God, coming to church is an exciting, wonderful thing. Amen. I used to know a street preacher. And he had certain things that he'd yell out to people who he saw. Because he'd only have a one-sentence sermon. One sentence to this one, one sentence to this one. Not often would people gather around him. But he preached to whoever was walking by. And he said if he saw somebody who he thought was a drug addict, he would say, 44 times the Bible says God is the Most High. Now that might be twisting things a little bit. And yet it's true in a sense too. It's God is way better than any drug that we can use. And the drugs will kill you eventually or at least really mess you up. But God will always be good for us. And what is fun, though, and what is exciting, and what is worth your time, depends on your mindset and your heart. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Now those who are in heaven, in the very throne room of God, they cannot help but worship God. And I'm not talking about human beings right now. I'm talking about the four living creatures. In the morning, I've been preaching on Revelation. And in Revelation 4:8, it describes four living creatures. It says, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's where we got this song we sang this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And if you go back to Isaiah 6, you see them singing the same song. And yet they're not bored. They're excited. They're in rapture. And they're full of eyes, it says, within and without. And if we were in the presence of God that closely, according to Scripture, we would die. We just can't handle that much glory. And yet they are full of eyes within and out, and they're made for the environment of nearness to God. Just like a polar bear is made for the ice, or a deep sea fish is made for that very bottom of the ocean, these creatures are designed by God to be in his presence And they rest not day or night. They don't ever happen to sleep. They never get tired. All they do is praise Him. And sometimes I've thought in the past, I want to be like them. And I think that ultimately that's a goal that we should have. And yet here on earth, we behold Him in a mirror dimly, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Or if you have the King James Version, in a glass darkly. And we too often struggle with the flesh when we're trying to worship God. We're not always excited as we should be. And Scripture tells us, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Some of you may be here at 9 a.m. in the morning, because it gives you the whole rest of the day to have fun or do things other than that. Some of my people at First Presbyterian, they may be there at 11, and I'm not saying this about everybody, because it gives them more time to sleep in the morning. We have this flesh, these fleshly desires, and they often rule in our hearts. I once read a book where the writer of the book talked about church services that were so short, he called the Sabbath the McSabbath, because the churches were designed so you could just go in really quick, like you're fast getting fast food, and go right out. And then some people like fast food, but Scripture is worth sitting in a service for. It's worth not just that, but in Psalm 1 it says, the person who is right with God meditates in His law day and night. And, we see this, people spending much time, not just when they're in church, but even when they're out of church, worshiping God. Gladness is mentioned in verse 1 of this psalm, Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of God. And joy in the New Testament is a fruit of the Spirit. It says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, that's the second fruit, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such is no law. And that joy that we have in Christ, is a beautiful, wonderful thing. And it's also a supernatural thing. And it is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, when we think of fruit, in general, fruit has to be cultivated. Fruit and flowers need to be cultivated. They're plants that you need to work on a little in order for them to be healthy and grow and do right like you want and have that good fruit that you want. Weeds, do weeds need to be cultivated? No, they grow up naturally. And this is what we struggle with, the flesh. It brings out stuff easily and naturally, and there's no need to cultivate the works of the flesh. And I won't even get into them this morning, because it seems, I think you're a knowledgeable group, you know that the works of the flesh, there's nothing good about them. But they come naturally out of our hearts. The fruit, including joy, and joy even in worship, is a fruit of the Spirit that we cultivate. Not only do we cultivate it, but as a fruit of the Spirit, it's a supernatural thing. It's something God gives us. It's something that we need to pray for. And so Jesus says, ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. And he who seeks and knocks and asks, I kind of missed up that third verse. But the person who is praying always, seeking the Spirit. And, we have the Holy Spirit if we're believers. But we need also to seek the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Yes. And one of those fruits is joy. And we should have joy in worship. This joy is supernatural. That joy that where you feel like going to somebody and saying, let's go to church. And that person says, yes, I want to go to church. These are songs of ascent. You're climbing that mountain. Imagine climbing the mountain. And you have a partner climbing the mountain. He says, oh, this is so hard. Oh, it's so terrible. I don't want to do this. It kind of discourages you, doesn't it? But if the person up front is singing conquering the mountain, even though you can see they're sweating, they're tired, they're having a hard time with it, you go with them. If God gives us the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, including joy and gladness about going to the house of the Lord, helps us to do that. Amy Carmichael wrote a wonderful prayer about climbing, and it goes like this. She said, "From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee, from subtle loves of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, O flame of God." Having that attitude, even just about coming to church, if you get up in the morning and you say, "Hey, I want to get to church early," or even better, if before I go to church, I'm going to pray for the pastor, I'm going to pray for the worship team, I'm going to pray for everybody at church that their hearts will be in it. You know, one time, it was a Sunday evening, and we went, my children were little, and we went to the Chinese restaurant that's right near here. And they used to have negative fortunes. And mine was, "You keep speaking, but nobody's listening." And then I realized, I need to pray that people will listen to the sermons, that they will hear them, that they will desire them. Even if I'm not a good preacher, if I'm preaching the word, they should desire that word. People excited about climbing, people even fighting pain. We have some in our church that are 97 years old that come. And I was once in a Bible study, and now it's closed because of COVID, at River Commons. We had two ladies in that Bible study. They were 105, both of them. They would make sure they came every time we had it. Let us go to the house of the Lord. That's what's my first point. Second point, a place, and the second two points are shorter. A place and people built for worship, thanksgiving, and justice. It says in verse 3, "Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord for the thrones that are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David." Originally, I thought that I was preaching on this next week, and I was going to use that verse as my key verse, as it talks about thanksgiving. But the whole passage is really good. So when we switched, it was easy. Jerusalem was built, it says here, for the purpose. It's the place where the tribes go up, where they ascend. And they'd have to go up. They'd have to climb up that mountain. And yet I believe it's also, these are spiritual people writing these psalms. And if not, the Holy Spirit was still behind them. And he's talking about climbing, ascending spiritually as well. Going to God. And they were going up to worship God. The building was built, whether it's talking about the tabernacle or the temple. It was built for the worship of God. And this building here that we share as churches was built for the worship of God. And not only that, I don't know if you all know, but this whole street, South Biscayne, when the town first started, when Northport was first started as a town, this street was set aside for churches. And so every once in a while I have somebody ask me or say something, "There's so many churches on that street." And I say, "Yeah, it's because that's the purpose of the city." Think about that. Our town was actually thinking about worshiping God and wanting to set one street aside for that purpose. So we live in a kind of a nice place. Amen. We're not already in heaven, not like the four living creatures, but we are designed, we as people, we are the church, aren't we? Yep. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit as individuals. We are built to climb, to travel, to climb to Him. We were created not like the four living creatures for heavenly nearness, but we were created to worship Him from afar. Yeah. We walk by faith and not by sight. we see in a glass darkly. And it's a little more difficult. And yet, when you think of it, there's more praise involved when you praise him in the midst of pain. Have you ever known anybody like that? When I was a young Christian, and again in my 20s, I had a friend who was a little younger than I was. He was 17, David Coker. He was a football player. He was the guy that was probably going to go to college on a scholarship, almost certainly. And maybe someday he would have been in the pros, but he got leukemia. And he was dying. And he was in the hospital. And I remember, I was a shy young man at the time, and I was worried. Even though David was my friend, he wasn't my closest friend. I wanted to go see him in the hospital, but I was worried. I never dealt with anybody who was dying. And so I went in anyway. I went to see him, and he was so happy. He changed my wife in a way, and a lot of people's lives, because I heard many of his nurses became believers because he would talk about how he was going to heaven early. And he was this big 245-pound guy, and he was down to like 140 because of the cancer. And he did die that year. But he went to heaven early, and he went to heaven with a testimony. And here we see some of that in this passage. He says, to the testimony of Israel. And we usually think of testimonies like that, of people who tell of what God has done for them. And here, they are the testimony, and we are the testimony. We're at least a little testimony just being here, aren't we? Because you have more people here because one more person is here than is not here. And you're a testimony to the Lord. When they see a crowded parking lot, it's a testimony to the Lord that those people are worshiping God. But obviously, there's more than that. If you come early, it's a testimony. If you're praying, the angels know you're praying. Satan knows you're praying. God knows you're praying for this service. It's a testimony. Coming regularly, consistently, and being glad when you come is a testimony to everyone else. You know, it talks about the godly and the ungodly in Scripture, especially in the Psalms. And the godly, we all know what it means to be godly. But ungodly sometimes didn't mean that you're necessarily an axe murderer. It could have been just a person who doesn't go to church regularly, who's not really on fire for the Lord. That was an ungodly person. Even if we can't make it to church, we can still praise him, can't we? Sometimes you just can't help but make it here. And what do you do on those days? Well, I know there was a case at least one time in Scripture where Paul and Silas were not at church. It says, having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. They were beaten. They were locked in chains at midnight. They said, hey, we can't sleep anyway. It's too uncomfortable. Let's sing hymns. And they sang hymns, and the place was shaken, and the jailer was saved by that action. Thanksgiving is another reason for coming to church. Thanksgiving, coming to thanks God, to give thanks in the name of the Lord. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It says in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We come to the church because we're thankful to God, to Christ who died for our sins. We would all be in hell if Christ did not do what he did. And somebody asked me this week from your group, I think it was Steve, are you going to preach a hellfire and brimstone sermon? And I thought, probably not the best thing to preach the first time you preach at a church. But if I did, which I am not, if I preached a hellfire and brimstone sermon, and it was the worst one you ever heard, I mean, worse in that you were all terrified to go to hell, what would be worse? Actually hearing that sermon for an hour, or being in hell for eternity? Well, I think most people would rather hear the sermon. Amen. And avoid hell.
And we should all be thankful to Christ because he took our hell upon himself when he died on that cross. A third reason mentioned in this passage for coming to church is justice. The thrones are set there for judgment, and the thrones of the house of David. Now, in Daniel 7, and in the book of Revelation, ungodly governments are called beasts because they rule by brute force. But in God's kingdom, things are ruled by just laws. Deuteronomy 4:8 says, "And what a great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law, which I set before you today." And when Moses is talking about the law, they only had so much of the Bible, and most of it was the law that Moses had written. Maybe the book of Job was at that time. But other than that, there wasn't a whole lot of the Bible there. And yet now we have all this law, and it's taught in church. And as I said before, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And now, why do we call this justice? Well, I believe that when we know the scripture, when we know the Ten Commandments, when we know these well, we know what justice is. We know what is right and what is wrong. And the more people that know the things that are in this word and what is right and wrong, we have an influence on our society. Justice, because we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. As Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." And salt was to keep meat from corrupting at that time. It would rot quickly because they didn't have refrigerators. They put salt on it, it made the meat last longer. And we are the salt of the earth. We keep it from corrupting as fast as it would. And we are the light of the world. We are to shine the glory of Christ. I remember a time when I was younger, and some of you would know this too, where even non-believers held to Christian values. They held to things that they would think were certain right and wrong. And they would have been shocked by some of the things that go on today. And why is that? Well, because the church was the light of the world and it was the salt of the earth. And now we don't have that influence. I'm not saying we're at fault, but we don't have that influence anymore. And that's where the justice comes from. When we have and we go to Jerusalem, when we go to church, the more people who are going to church, the more that we're going to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The more we're going to be that, especially the more we are into church, like I've been saying, where it's something that we know is important. Thirdly, last point, a place and people to pray for, and a place and people of peace. The last few verses, 6-9, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your wall, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of the brethren and companions, I will now say peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Pastor J.E., when he greets me, often he tells me that you guys are all praying for us. And we are all praying for you. And I thank you for that. Jerusalem, the church, I believe today the church and Jerusalem are roughly the same thing, as far as especially spiritual Jerusalem. And the church as a whole is a sanctuary in a world where there is no peace. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." An ungodly world hates Christ. John 15:18, Jesus himself says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." When we go out to the world, we can't expect them always to love us and treat us kindly. And yet, unlike an ungodly world, we have peace with God because of the death of Christ. Jesus died for us. Therefore, in Romans, it says, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ because we've been justified by faith. We have the peace that comes from God's blessing. Every time at my church, and I sort of can do it right now for you guys, I say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that's a blessing that the Jews gave to each other. And it not only meant peace in that they weren't fighting with each other and things like that, or even the peace of calm, but it meant prosperity and blessing and God's favor. We have peace because we know the Prince of Peace. Soon we'll all be celebrating Christmas. And we know that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And Jesus came for that purpose, to bring peace. First, peace for us with God. And if you don't know Jesus and you're here, you need that peace with God. You're under his wrath and curse unless you're right with him. And yet if you trust in him, he will take away your sins. He'll wash you in his blood and he'll set you on that right path and you can have peace with him. And if you've been a Christian a while, you know that peace that passes understanding. My friend David Coker, even though he hadn't been a Christian super long, he was 17 years old. He had that peace even in the midst, you know, as it says in the Psalm 23, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He had that. I never seen anybody. Well, actually, I've seen others like that too. Some of them were older than him. We have peace when our mind is stayed on him. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. The more we know and trust Jesus, the more we also become peacemakers. One of the Sermon on the Mount Beatitudes, after you get up to the higher numbers of them, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. That's what we are when we are peacemakers. We are like Jesus, and we will be called the sons of God. There's a saying, know Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace, K-N-O-W, and then know, N-O, know Jesus, no peace. Jesus is our source for peace. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love and kindness. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. And we thank you that we have a church and we have a place where we can come to gather together and worship you. And we pray you'd help us to really appreciate that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.